Rick Mon is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, my goodness me. It's the last hour of my last show of the week. And what have we got in store for you, lovely people? Well, I've referred to this gentleman prior to this event as an after-dinner mint. And I've also referred to him as the Obi-Wan Kenobi of TNT Radio. Today, I was just visiting the bathroom. And before you recoil in horror, no. I was thinking, how am I going to refer to him and introduce him? And a cherry. He's a cherry today. Okay, he's not an after-dinner mint. He's a cherry. I was going to call him the icing on the cake, but the icing on the cake was the last guest, which was Toby Brown. The cake was the first guest, which was Natalie Child. So what do we have on top of the icing on the cake? Of course, we have a cherry on top. So Mr. Trevor John, who I'm very happy to see, as always, is today's cherry on the cake. He's been the meat in the sandwich in the past as well. He's been everything. Maybe he's going to be a mealworm or a cricket someday, but not today. He's the cherry on the cake. I'm losing my mind. I don't mind admitting it. I'm rambling. I don't care anymore what comes out of my mouth as long as it's not blasphemy or libel. I think I can get away with it. I was told to be myself when I took this job. And boy, oh boy, am I going to be myself. So anyway, what's happening in the world? Well, there's a lot going on, a lot that I'm going to cover briefly here, and then I'm going to talk about with Trevor. The war drums are beating, and I'm talking about the nuclear war drums here. I made the big mistake last night before I went to bed of looking at a thread by a guy called Kim.com on Twitter. He actually has a massive channel, and he actually puts out a lot of really good content, but he had like a simulation of what a nuclear war, nuclear fallout, nuclear winter would look like should it come to that, which we're hoping that it doesn't, mutually assured destruction. It's not recommended to watch something like that before you go to bed. It kind of dwells on you. And then he posted up to say that Poland is now providing iodine pills to all of its citizens in preparation for radioactive exposure. So Poland is dishing out the iodine pills in preparation for radioactive exposure. Maybe they know something we don't. I don't know. So that the threat of nuclear war is hanging over our heads. In Ireland, I want to look at some things that are going on in Ireland today. The government is considering a 2 billion euro farm retirement scheme to meet climate change targets. Ireland is the country that destroys food. This has been bubbling on for a while. Something similar has been proposed in the UK, but Ireland are now looking at it seriously and putting some numbers together to entice farmers to quit, hand over their land, cull their herds of beef cattle and dairy cattle, and retire basically and put their feet up so they're not up at 4 o'clock in the morning anymore shoveling you know what out of the stables. And of course that's going to be appealing to some people. Maybe they're just tired and they want a break. Eamon Ryan in Ireland has ruled out price caps. Eamon Ryan hates us all and simply does not care about our well-being or quality of life. He's a radical fundamentalist and a dangerous individual, writes Lisa C on Twitter, quoting an Irish Independent article. Here's the thing, we're all, depending on who you talk to, everyone is a radical fundamentalist and everybody is a dangerous individual. So I am classed probably as a radical by some people, and the people that are classifying me as a radical, I'm classifying them as a radical. The people that are saying I'm promoting dangerous theories and ideas, I say you're promoting dangerous theories and ideas. And we have this merry-go-round of nonsense whereby everybody's pointing at everybody else and we're all in a cult and we're all in a death cult and we're all spreading mis- and disinformation and so on and so forth. It's not a nice environment out there, really. So we're going to try and add a little humor into what we're talking about today. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say for now, except to say that we are on all social media platforms, TNT Radio, that is. So if you have an Instagram account, Getter account, a Gab account, a Twitter account, you will find us there. We would appreciate your support if you could follow us and maybe tell your friends, follow us and retweet us, do all that sort of business to try and get the word out there about the content that we're producing. And also we stream on BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, and all the major streaming platforms. And of course, all our shows are recorded and uploaded onto all the major streaming platforms as well. So there is no excuse, none whatsoever, to avoid your daily dose of TNT Radio.
Keeping you updated on the latest.
In the car while I'm driving home.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Trevor, I'm glad to see you, my friend. It's been a long week, and it's always nice to see a smiling, friendly face looking at me. Not that the other guests weren't smiling and friendly, but this is my I bow out to radio broadcasting now, and you're helping me to do it. So how are you, sir?
Yeah, it's been a interesting couple of weeks since I saw you last.
Yeah, a lot happening, isn't
there? I mean, a bit of a dark two or three weeks of the soul, I think. I mean, one thing that happened was that my brother-in-law, my family all went away on holiday to Devon without me.
Without
because
you.
I'm persona non grata. But, you know, I'm embracing that. But my brother-in-law, unfortunately, had a stroke while they were there.
Yeah. Was he a young-ish man?
Yeah, he's very young, just a couple of years older than me. But
so he's about 64 then, yeah?
Yeah. Well, a bit more than that. But not, he's in his late 60s, but
I'm sorry,
yeah, he had
that.
A stroke. I know. You know, it's very hard for his kids because they lost their mum, my sister, in 2019. But, you know, I can't get them to join the dots at all. But anyway, he's making some progress.
Good. And did they get him fast enough that they were able to get him into the hospital and give him the clot buster medications for people that have had strokes? In other words, did you catch him on time? Did they catch him on time before it progressed and became more catastrophic?
Well, they were pretty slow kind of diagnosing it. I mean, it didn't really get diagnosed till he got back, but they had suspicions. So I'm hoping that they did something like that. But he does seem to be. He's kind of walking and talking a bit better now. He wasn't in a good space for a while. Mm-hmm. So that was not a great part of the week. Even though, you know, I love them all. But they want to be able to discuss Ukraine and monkeypox without having an alternative view.
Yeah.
And that's what I provide. Yeah.
So you are literally the black sheep of the family. I know how you feel. I know how you feel, mate. Trust me, I know how you feel.
We've all been the black. I mean, it's amazing how many of us have been the black sheep of the family. It's also quite surprising how many people on this side of the fence seem to have some form of ADHD. Have you noticed that?
I have. I discussed it briefly earlier on about some of the people that are aligning with us are exhibiting some bizarre behavior patterns at the moment. So yes, I have noticed there's some quirkiness going on in our camp.
But maybe that makes us, I've got a few kind of traits like that. And my son's also being diagnosed. I mean, I've had my suspicions about it, but anyway, it seems to create the sort of behavior where people want to get to the bottom of things. You know, you're obsessed with finding out the truth. You're not going to be pushed aside by or fobbed off. And, you know, there's that whole kind of idea that all evil creates the seeds of its own destruction. Uh-huh. And who knows if it's something to do with the so-called vaccines and it's created ADHD. And maybe that is going to be their downfall because they've created a whole bunch of people who just want to get to the truth and won't be fobbed off.
They won't. And, you know, that's a kind of unrelated, but on the same thread as what you've just said. I did say to my last guest, Toby Brown from Truth Talk UK, you know, since January of this year, since I started doing this, last year I dabbled in it. In other words, I had a passing interest in what was going on in the world generally. Okay, a passing interest. I didn't get too caught up in it. But since January this year, I mean, I've completely immersed myself in it because, you know, you have to be aware of what's going on and really keep up to date with events if you want to try and provide a reasonable commentary to a guest on economics, on political issues, on scientific issues, on educational issues, whatever. You have to be a little bit of a jack of all trades. So I've found that I've become too immersed in things this year. I mean, like my last job that I hated, I took a lot of, you know, breaks, mental health days. I would never call them a day off. I called them a mental health day where you would just detach completely, take a few days off and just not even think about work. I haven't done that this year. I've had 1 week since January, pretty much 1 week off. And even then I was still faffing around, you know, working stuff out. I can feel it's detrimental at this point in time, you know, to be too into it. But maybe it is a thing, you know, I'm just obsessed. I need to keep on top of my game, but you need to get the balance right because when it becomes, you know, personally detrimental, you need to say to hell with this, nothing's worth this and step back a little bit.
Yeah, I need a holiday, mate.
I do. I need to come to Kent and sit around the bloody fire with you lot, to be quite frank with you. And I want to do it. And I'm thinking about it, believe you me.
Yeah. No, you'd be welcome. And we have a nice time down here. Yeah, you can be put up down here anytime, mate.
But, I appreciate it. I really do.
I was interested in what you were saying. You were asking a really important question in your last hour, which was, why are people going along with it? So there was talk of apathy, but I think it's actually much, much deeper than that. I mean, you refer to me as Obi-Wan, right? So it's like the old, what's happened is the old Jedi mind trick. Do you remember Obi-Wan did it to the stormtroopers? And he goes, there's nothing to see here.
That's right. And they repeated back what he said.
Yes. So there's nothing to see. I've wrote down some examples of there's nothing to see here. So Theresa May lost 14 files about paedophilia, lost them. Mm. There's nothing to see here. Mm. You know, what was the size of that budget hole in the budget, the American budget? It was like trillions, wasn't it? Something like 20 trillion or something like that. There's nothing to see here. Right.
Epstein's Matt Black Hancock. Book.
Well, I mean, all the people that went to Epstein's Island.
Clan list.
Going to,
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. I mean, and who was the biggest? Right. I meant to mention Matt Hancock as well. You know, Midazlam Matt. Yeah. Nothing to see there either. I mean, give me a break. I mean, who was the biggest, you know, instigator of nothing to see here in our lifetimes, even telling us what he was doing? Mm-hmm. James Savile.
Exactly.
Yes.
Nothing to see. And who was best friends with the current King of England? Nothing to see
exactly.
Here. Who was Prince Charles's great uncle, Lord Louis Mountbatten, who the FBI and the CIA described as a vile individual? Nothing to see here. What about Prince Andrew's connections with the Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell child trafficking ring? Nothing to see here. Yes. Isn't it odd? What about the amount of people dropping and taking adverse reactions and unexplainable deaths? Nothing to see here, Trevor. Nothing to see.
Young athletes. Now, why can't people see that? There's nothing to see here. It's a Jedi mind trick. So, but it's not just fanciful to say that. I mean, I think there is some power. An example of how far my journey's gone in the last couple of years is that I watched a documentary about Mr. Savile. and giving the idea that he was actually a magician. You know, the guy was born on Halloween, the seventh son, which is supposed to be significant. Mm-hmm. So Halloween is supposed to be
seventh son. In occult circles, they say the seventh son of a seventh son has like mystical healing capabilities and psychic abilities. So yeah, that's mixed in with that too.
And how deep Savile was in the occult is unbelievable. I mean, yeah, I mean we can discuss that. Do you we have will, to go actually. To a break?
No, yeah. Well, I tell you what, actually, we do. And when we come back, we'll just go straight into it. We're due a break now anyway, an ad break. And when we come back, let's expand on this because it's relevant. The guy may be dead, but his legacy kind of is living on and he's never really been dealt with. And, he was never brought to task for the things that he did while he was alive. But, yeah, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's carry on this discussion with Mr. Trevor John. Or should I say Obi-Wan? And remember, there's nothing to see here on TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Hervé Moric is talking about.
Apparently, Germany has seized control of three oil refineries owned by Russia's state oil giant Rosneft as it seeks to secure energy supplies in the wake of what's going on in Ukraine. It marks an escalation of the energy war between Russia and the EU. Olaf Scholz, Germany's chancellor, said he's prepared for the risk of retaliation from Mr. Putin over the oil refineries. Is history repeating itself? We just keep going from one clown show to another. Yeah, this trajectory that we're on certainly does not look good. We did see yesterday Nord Stream 2 will basically be replaced by Russia's sending oil over to the east, so the Russians really don't care. And also Turkey will pay for a quarter of its Russian gas in rubles. So there goes more of that de-dollarization. Putin has come out saying the West has for decades sought to dismantle Russia and is now trying to use Ukraine as a tool for achieving this goal.
Hervé Moric on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
They had absolute legitimate meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer? Yes.
Rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together.
Lighting the fuse for freedom.
TNT Radio.
Right, shoot, Jimmy Savile, James Savile, Sir Jimmy Savile to some after he was knighted by Her Majesty. Tell us a little bit more about him. You talked about Halloween. He was a seventh son. He was deeply immersed in the occult. He was a horrendous, disgusting pedophile who went unchecked. What else have you got on him?
Well, he was also a Knight of Malta and another kind of secret, shady society. The guy studied hypnotism. He was an acolyte of Aleister Crowley, who was being called the most evil man in the world. The people that he worked as a miner early on in his life. And the miners, he was telling a story about the miners thought he was a witch. Because he came out with his shirt clean or something. But I mean, there's always this kind of weird energy hanging over him. And he used neuro-linguistic programming, like hypnotism. You know, he was fond of saying things like, "Now then." So, and he would say it three times, the law of three. So what's now then? Now? The present, then some other time. It's a contradictory phrase which kind of puts your mind into some weird duality, hypnotic trance. Now then, you know.
Yeah.
He was fond of saying things like jingle jangle, which is yin yang.
I was about to say that. Yeah, jingle jangle jewelry. And he wore these large, huge, eye-catching gold bracelets and gold rings and smoked a large oversized cigar. Everything was larger than life almost. Yeah.
Well, but his cigar was also a wand that kind of focused, you know, the guy was a magician and you know, how did he manage to get, he was friends of, let's see who came into his sort of circle. There was, do you remember Frank Bruno?
I do.
Also, and everybody, and Frank Bruno was eulogizing about Saville, wasn't he, when he died, saying, you have to go a million miles to find someone like him. He was friends of police chiefs. Obviously royalty. He had flats in Broadmoor. I saw him, a photo of him introducing Frank Bruno to Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper. You know, I mean, and he was often pictured wearing a wizard's robe. He had a ring, the Lord of the Rings, had a ring with Saturn on it, sort of hexagon. Yeah, the guy was like up to his neck.
Immersed in the occult, really.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
he used the veil, or he used the guise of benevolence to his. Well, he used it very cunningly. He raised a lot of money, millions, tens of millions, for Stoke Mandeville Hospital, which, of course, who in their right mind would not be supportive of raising money for a children's hospital for underprivileged children? But he also had the keys to that hospital, and he went in at will, unsupervised, and molested disabled children, terminally ill children, in that same hospital. And he did it for decades unchecked. He had a flat.
Yeah, he had a flat there. And he had a flat at Broadmoor that he could just go in and out.
For the criminally insane.
Yeah.
And so, nothing was said. Or should I say, that's not true. Things were said. But they were buried. They were buried and they were overlooked. Yeah. And you have to ask yourself the question. I mean, like, it's came as a defense, okay, to say, for example, I'm sure Prince Charles, if he had known what he was really like, he wouldn't have associated with him. Listen, if you go, you, Trevor, John, if you want to go and work with, the military or the police or children, you have to be subjected to high-level vetting. You can't get into even a youth club without being vetted and vetted and vetted. You trying to tell me, not you personally, but anyone out there that's an apologist, are you trying to tell me that with the MI6 and MI5 and what was commonly known amongst the entertainment circle and the police about this man, that at least Prince Charles didn't get a tap on the shoulder and say, excuse me, you might want to know that this man is a raging, disgusting, perverted pedophile. You want to tell me Charles didn't at least get informed of that? And if he did, he pushed it to the side and he embraced him as a close friend for decades. Not just for a month or two. It went on for decades, Trevor.
Yeah. Well, I tell you this, that I know for a fact, because I know people that have worked within the circles of the royal family, and it took weeks and weeks for them to be vetted. So, and Saville, yeah, I've heard, was the only person that was just waved straight through the palace security.
Just like
that. Waved straight through. Yeah. So,
and again, nothing to see here. He had the same, I suppose you could say, he had the same free reign over Buckingham Palace as he did over Broadmoor Mental Hospital, as he did over Stoke Mandeville Children's Hospital. And you don't get that level of access and exposure to those people unless there's something more to it. And it wasn't just the fact that he was an ex-DJ, Top of the Pops, had his own children's show, Jim Will Fix It, where children were invited to sit on the journey, would make their dreams come true. Just before we take a news break, somebody wrote in, I saw somebody put a post on Twitter where they had a letter that didn't get answered. He didn't honor this request for a young girl said, I want to spend a day with Gary Glitter. And they wrote back and said, I'm sorry, we can't make that one happen.
Escape.
And she said, boy, did I dodge a bullet with that
he was
one.
Mates.
A weekend
he
with Gary. And he was best mates. Listen, if you don't laugh at some of these things, you really would cry at the severity of them. We've got to take a break, but I want to stay in this subject because some other things came up around him. There's a documentary on him that I haven't watched. I saw the documentary that Louis Theroux made with him several years ago called When Louis Met Jimmy, and there was a lot of bizarre stuff going on with that one. But then there was another one that was produced, I think, by Netflix that was quite horrendous. I haven't allocated time to watch that, but we'll touch on it a tad more. And the wider circle of the royals, I mean, you know, the connection with Andrew and Epstein. Yeah. And when you think about it, if it's pretty unlucky, you would think, pretty unlucky that the Queen had at least two out of her three sons were either closely affiliated best buddies with child traffickers and paedophiles. I don't know anything about Edward. Maybe you do, but maybe he's off the firing line at the minute. But we'll take a news break. We'll look at this in a little bit more detail. The law of averages. The law of averages say that that's very it's all very coincidental, but we'll dig into it if MI6 haven't already been dispatched. If you hear a smashing window and a gun being discharged, it's me being taken off the air, if you know what I mean. But remember, there's nothing to see here on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. A U.S. aircraft carrier has arrived in South Korea for the first time in 4 years, in a military show of force aimed at sending a warning to North Korea. 9 million Australians are being warned of a heightened risk of identity theft after their personal information was stolen in the largest cyber attack the country has ever seen. And police in the US have made a chilling discovery after finding a dismembered body stuffed inside two suitcases inside a New York City apartment.
Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out, helping you make a difference on TNT Radio.
To give people an idea also of just how vile this man was, technically speaking, I think there has been no one that's known that was as perverse as Saville over as long a period of time and had access to as many victims as Jimmy Saville. So let's put that one to the side. He was a close friend, confidant, companion to Prince Charles for decades.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one.
Advised
number
on two, their marriage, didn't he?
He was advising
Charles and Di.
Despite never having had a wife himself. Call me old fashioned, but if I want some marriage advice, I'll probably go to someone that at least has had a wife and get, you know, a reasonable input from that person. It's like Bill Gates. Remember, he went to Epstein for marriage advice as well, allegedly 36 times. And when questioned about that, he said, well, I was soliciting for funds for my philanthropic business. The richest man in the world soliciting funds from another millionaire. I'm sorry, but that stinks to high heavens. That's another one, by the way. Gates is weaved into this pedophilic, filthy web as well. Law of averages, what are the chances that they're all hobnobbing together and they're all guilty? One last thing, this is in case I forget, because you might be interested in this, but if you're doing research in this, somebody put a picture up this week. Old sausage fingers, King Charles III. If you notice, he wears a very distinctive gold ring on the little finger of his left hand, I believe it is. He doesn't wear a wedding ring. He wears a large, oversized, again, Savile-esque piece of gold jewelry on his hand. The exact same ring also was worn by Ghislaine Maxwell, which is weird for a woman to wear a large, oversized golden pinky ring, and Jeffrey Epstein, all three of them. There's a picture of the three of them together with the same ring on the same finger of the same hand. And of course, Epstein and Maxwell were closely associated with so-called Prince Andrew, who again was associated with arguably two of the most notorious child traffickers in modern history, of which none of their clients have been even arrested or questioned, let alone jailed. Nothing to see here, Trevor. What are we even talking about for? There's nothing in it. Nothing in it.
And these people are all, you know, involved in this scenario where we're just about to be told we can't buy carrots because you misgendered a drag queen on Twitter, quote Paul Joseph Watson. You know, that's where we're heading, and these people are heading. I mean, if people cannot see, the world has gone satanic shite.
Completely, my friend.
I don't know. Yeah.
Let me give a plug out to someone here. A young lad who's fantastic podcaster called Johnny. I don't know his actual surname. It goes under the handle of Johnny, H-O-D-L. He invited me on to do a podcast with him a few weeks ago, and he wanted to talk about my beliefs, my faith, blah, blah, blah. So I spoke with him. And, you know, he asked me, did I think, you know, are things going the wrong way? Are things going to go really 100% bad? And I said, listen, there's child abuse is nothing new. Pedophilia is nothing new. It's been around from the dawn of time. It has. Deviant behavior, it's been there. Violence, murder, corruption, theft, it's all been there. All been there, but up until this point in history, it's at least been condemned or frowned upon or deemed to be something that is not socially acceptable, right? So, you know, pedophilia never has been socially acceptable. Now they're trying to rebrand it as minor attracted people. So they're trying to call pedophiles minor attracted people and justify the fact that they can't help the way they feel and they should not be persecuted and they should be accepted for who they are. No, not on my watch. That's what's happening in 2022. There's a rise of acceptance of things that were previously deemed to be anathema or taboo. They're now part of our social fabric. That is what's causing me concern, not the practices themselves, but the mass support that the public seems to be giving them, and the fact that if you speak out against it, instead of being applauded now, you're booed and demonized, vilified, deplatformed, and financially smacked down. That's what's causing me concern right now, Trevor. The evil and the wickedness, it's nothing new, but the acceptance of it, widespread, whole scale, right across the globe, my friend, that is what's causing me the concern, not the actual practices themselves, of which I completely I condemn all of
but
it.
In doing saying. In doing that, though, Rick, they're revealing themselves.
Correct.
This is the point. And an awful lot of people are seeing it and hearing it loud and clear, like us, you know. I just want to quickly, I mean, there is an upside to all this. Gone a bit dark, isn't it? But
you bring but some light, my friend. Bring some light.
Yeah, no, but before we do that, Mark Devlin did a really interesting podcast with a guy called Richard Balducci about the occult nature of the Beatles and Paul McCartney's supposed death, this whole sort of thing around whether Paul McCartney died or not. And also, you know, Jimmy Savile's involvement with them was unbelievable. Aleister Crowley, you know, involvement with them or their kind of following of him. He was on Sergeant Pepper, the album cover.
Cover, he was.
you know, references like I am the walrus. If you look back to the etymology of walrus, it means dead. So, which is like Paul saying he was dead. It's a very interesting but very dark podcast, but it's just, it goes into Saville's involvement with them as well. But
just on the subject, for your own information, a bit of trivia, do you know who lives in Aleister Crowley's house now?
It's not Jimmy Page, is it?
It is. He's been living up there for a long, long time. He's been living in Aleister Crowley's old mansion in Scotland, I think it is. He's an old manor house, but he bought it and has been living there for a very, very long period of time. Jimmy Page, who obviously is part of Led Zeppelin, who obviously were one of the largest rock bands, most influential in the world at any one time. So, yeah, that's
the God Save the Queen on top of Buckingham Palace during the Jubilee.
That guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just a coincidence. There's nothing to see here.
Nothing. No. But I mean, I've had some upsides. We had a bit of a mishap with the bees because my lovely partner in crime with the bees, who I look after the bees with Ness, made the mistake of trying to do something with just the jacket on and some black leggings, and I got this terrible phone call that she'd been attacked and stung about six times, so she won't make that mistake again. They hate black. I was walking past I went to the Rise Above Platforms retreat and festival a couple of weekends back, which was absolutely brilliant. I met the guys from Sheep Farm and Mark Devlin was there, and it was absolutely fantastic. But there was a country lane and I was taking my stuff back to the car, and I got attacked by hornets. And because I had a black t-shirt on, they went for me. Yeah, I got about six hornet stings. And so you don't wear black around a beehive or a hornet's nest. There's a
I'll be in trouble. All I ever wear is black.
Yeah, no, yeah. Why is that then? No, I'm the same. Look, we're both in black here.
I know.
But cultists,
by the way. We're not cultists. No. We just like black. Makes me look skinny.
Yes.
Ish.
Yeah, that's the idea. But bees don't like it.
It's supposed to be a slimming color, so you wouldn't want to see me wearing white. That's all I'm saying.
Really? So all bee suits are white. That's why they're white, because they don't tend to attack you so much. So we had to go up and... She ran off and left the beehive in a state of disrepair, but we managed to put it together again. I was talking to you about Dawn and David Lester, wasn't I?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I went to a talk by them last week, and they wrote the book What Really Makes Us Ill, which is a massive tome. And... Uh-huh. I mean, one thing that so-called COVID has done is open the floodgates to the idea that virology is itself a pile of horseshit. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard very learned scientists talk about the idea that diseases caused by viruses is the same as leaving rubbish outside your house, seeing the flies, and then trying to claim that the flies caused the rubbish. It's as tenuous as that. And I've also heard a great round table discussion. Kevin Corbett, who came on with you, was on. Yeah, but he was on with Dolores Cahill hosting a round table discussion with Mark Bailey, Sam Bailey's doctor husband, and all sorts of people. And it was absolutely brilliant. And the whole of virology is now under the spotlight. And it looks to me like it's just a pile of horseshit. And it's been used to further this...
agenda?
This idea that...
This agenda that's currently being thrust. It's part of the package, really.
Yes. So Dawn Lester and David Parker wrote this book all about that. But they've also written a much deceptively smaller book, covering a much more profound notion about the nature of reality. And David Parker, well, they've both been studying the nature of reality for years. I mean, David Parker's been studying it for 50 years, I think. So they're now finding that the whole of quantum science is kind of backing up what they've been saying for a long time. And that is that energy, matter, and consciousness are all one and the same. There's no difference between energy, matter, and consciousness. And that with consciousness, you can change your reality.
Well, there's certainly something to it. I mean, like, you know, that old adage, you know, if you think you can do something, you will. And if you don't think you can do something, you won't. You know, your mindset. Yeah, I'm a massive believer in the power of the mind. I really, really am. And my old granda used to say, mind over matter, mind over matter. You know, and he wasn't a deep kind of guy. He was an old World War II Air Force vet. But he knew some stuff. And a lot of the stuff that he used to come out with when I was a kid, I used to think he was an old crank. He was a bitter old crank. Sometimes I loved him with all my heart, but he could be quite a bitter old man and a chip on his shoulder. But you know what, Trevor? Me in my youth, thinking I knew better than an old man of 75 who had been around the world and lived a hell of a lot longer and more fruitful life than me.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that he's saying now, I'm realizing was right. And then I'm trying to tell it to other people and they think I'm a bitter old crank. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it'll percolate down eventually. Maybe that's part of it. Let's look at this, flesh this out in a little bit more detail. We've got to take an ad break. And when we do, let's look at this in a little bit more detail, because we've touched on it before a little bit about this manifestation. But I think certainly there's a power in it, but it has to be coupled with action. But that brings in the material side of things. So let's maybe look at how this all ties together as we round up the show here today on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Well, what do you know? Finally, a so-called progressive who worked up the nerve to fire back, verbally, of course, at a member of the famed squad. He's 75-year-old Gerald Nadler, who's been representing New York in the Congress forever, and who recently beat another longtime Democrat House member, Carolyn Maloney, as two districts merged into one. This after Maloney called Nadler senile. He fired back after Michigan Democrat Rashida Tlaib announced, "I want you all to know that among progressives, it's become clear you cannot claim to hold progressive values yet back Israel's apartheid government." She said this during an online seminar. Nadler followed that with a tweet saying, "I fundamentally reject the notion that one cannot support Israel's right to exist as a Jewish and democratic state and be a progressive." Now, it may not seem like much, but it stands out in a Democrat Party that's been willing to stand by and let Israel be bashed and bashed over and over again, apparently out of fear of incurring the wrath of the squad members. Well, let's see how many more are willing to follow Nadler's brave lead. My prediction? Nobody. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
Join me and help fight for them by supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Child labor and toxic leaks, the price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm sorry to have to do this, but a few other characters I want to throw into the old royal scandal mix before we finish off for the day. Kevin Spacey, notorious Hollywood dodgy dude, was given an honour by King Charles and also pictured sitting in Buckingham Palace with Ghislaine Maxwell in the King and Queen's thrones. I don't know if you've seen that picture or not, with big grins on their faces. And the man who conducted the funeral was none other than the Archbishop of Canterbury, also known as Justin Welby. And Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby has, this is in recorded news, by the way, from years ago, failed to alert police when a priest was accused of sexually assaulting a worshipper, despite knowing that he was a convicted pedophile. So that who was emceeing the whole service in Westminster Abbey. And I don't know if you've watched the breakdown. There's a guy called, is it Hugo Talks? Possibly he breaks down the whole funerals thing with the wand. You talked about a wand. A wand was broken that the Queen had given to some chamberlain. He broke it symbolically, set it on the funeral. She would be buried with it. Man, it might as they might as well have been dancing around the maypole and you know swinging. Yeah.
It's all very occult.
Very, mate. Very, very. But I don't want to distract from what you were saying. But I think we should throw that into the mix and bury it with all the other nonsense. But people need to
just
dig.
Gloss
they
over it. Just gloss over it. All that nothing kind of see. Ritual they're doing. There's nothing to see here. Just completely, that's just stuff. Yeah, we're showing you this on television, but don't go into it. Don't look into it. It's just nothing to see here. Move on.
I get that people appreciate it. The pomp and ceremony, the pageantry, it helped them to process what was going on. That's fine if that's your thing. But all I'm trying to do is, let's say, hang on a minute. There's a little bit of balance needs to be brought into the equation. You can't just look at it purely from one angle or purely from another. And this has came into my head as I'm talking to you, because you asked a question earlier on that led onto the nothing to see here business. Are people hypnotized, Jedi mind trick? Think about this. When you acknowledge something is happening, you have to deal with it, right? If you acknowledge it, you have to deal with it. If you refuse to acknowledge it, you don't have to deal with it. And maybe, dare I say, another aspect of what you've said, something to think about, maybe just came into my head. As with, you know, you hear horror stories of abuse that happens in families that say the mother was aware of, the father was abusing the children, or the mother was abusing the children, the father knew about it, did nothing about it. And you think, how could you sit back as a parent or a guardian or a loved one of a child and ignore something that was happening right under your nose when you knew it was happening? A lot of the times, if you acknowledge it and you accept that it's happening, then you have to deal with it. If you blank it out and put it to the back of your mind, you don't have to take on that responsibility. Mm. Maybe there's a collective shirking of national responsibility now to accept what has been done to us medically, societally, spiritually, economically, in every way. It's like, no, we're not going to deal with it. We're there's nothing to see here. I don't want to deal with this. No, let somebody else. Is that maybe a part of it too?
Well, I think that people are so traumatized and it's got so big that it's a lot to deal with, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're asking a lot, but you just have to. All you have to really do is get people past that sort of brick wall of, but they wouldn't do that, would they? Yeah. They wouldn't do that. If you can get people past that, suddenly the whole world opens up. But that's not very easy to do. But that is all part of the Jedi mind trick, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
It is.
But interesting what you were saying before, because like there was a quote from Henry Ford that I remembered where he said, whether you think you can do something or whether you can't do it, you're right.
That was what I was trying to reference earlier on, about the mindset, the mentality,
But it's true,
let's tie that into what you were saying. What you were saying, sorry, before the break about this emergence of, you know, how your attitude, your mental outlook, your positivity has a massive knock-on effect in your life in general. And I've talked about this before. You know, some people can sit back and think they can manifest something and it happens. I do believe that if you have a vision and a goal and you write it down on a piece of paper and then you make active steps to make it happen and you believe it can happen, absolutely, you can achieve just about anything you like. But surely there has to be an input on your part of a little bit of effort, dedication, and what is it they say? Genius is 99% or 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. I think Einstein might have said that. He kind of had a point, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, there's different schools of thought on this, and my mind is kind of open at the moment. I mean, you could say that like there's heaven and earth, and what's between heaven and earth? You know, what connects heaven and earth? It's us. Mm-hmm. So we are the connection, the physical world We have to engage with the physical world. But there's also a school of thought that just with consciousness alone, if a group of you are in the room and you have a certain consciousness, then that can radiate out and affect the realm you're living in. Now, I find that kind of comforting personally, that that's possible. And one thing we have, which they don't have, is love. That's the one thing we have. And that feels very powerful at the moment.
And it's the greatest thing of all. It really genuinely is. And it sounds cheesy and it sounds cliche, but it absolutely is the most powerful thing is love. And even the Bible says it, you know, it talks about faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Yeah. Even greater than faith, even greater than hope is love. To love someone, to unconditionally love someone, to put yourself out for someone. The just what that means. I mean, you can be in a room. You can be in a room with someone and you don't know anything about them and you can get a real good vibe from them. You generally can't, or sometimes people, it feels like your stomach's turning and you can't quite understand why. You know what I'm talking about? That gut feeling, that gut instinct, that has to be factored into the equation too. And a lot of people, I think, are ignoring their gut. They're ignoring that discernment that they have within themselves, that something's wrong, something's not right. Yeah. That guy, that woman is a wrong one. They're bad and they're but I can't quite put my finger, but again, it's pushed to the side because they don't want to deal with what their spirit is telling them or their discernment is telling them.
And it's your intuition, isn't it? And things mess with your intuition that they're doing to us, like fluoride in the water is supposed to affect the pineal gland. You know, if anyone isn't filtering the hell out of their water right now, they've not been paying attention. But there's awful lots of things they're putting in the food and the water and the atmosphere that all affect your pineal gland, and that affects your intuition. But I mean,
makes you wonder what the world would be like, doesn't it? Makes you wonder what the world would be like if it was pure.
Yeah.
If it was undoctored, i.e., what we breathe, what we eat, what we're drinking, what chemicals we maybe spray or rub on our skins, and even the food that we're buying. If you read the E numbers on it, everyone knows E numbers are bad, but still we run out and buy. Not maybe you and I personally, but packages and packages of food that are chock-a-block full of E-numbers, additives, aspartame, monosodium glutamate, all that crap. We know it's bad, but we still do it.
What's that one, heck something that's to do with based on aborted fetus cells? It's just disgusting. Yeah, but anyway, what the world will be like when they are over. Because we are going to win this. This is
sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yes. It's, you know, we are going to win. Everyone's just got to take responsibility for themselves. You know, look inside. I mean, the love in my little group that I have here is just tangible. It's wonderful. You know, I was up. We did it. But you find it with other people, like that we did a freedom rally last week on Saturday. I was there supporting Charlotte Wright, whose husband died. He was the first person in the world to be killed by the AstraZeneca jab.
That's right.
And I helped her write a speech last week, and she smashed it. She did it to a massive crowd of people, obviously nothing on the BBC. But, you know, and everybody's really supportive of Charlotte. But there was other people there, like David Icke did a fantastic speech. Chris Skye was there, who I was actually really impressed with. He really connected on a heart level with everybody in the crowd.
And he's in Ireland at the moment. He's in Ireland.
Yeah, he's doing a tour, isn't he?
Doing a tour of Ireland. And he was outside. And we're kind of, I need to make sure I don't get cut off. I've been getting cut off because I've been mistiming the end of my shows here. But he was outside Mountjoy Prison in Ireland. Yesterday, I think it was, there's a guy, Enoch Burke, has been locked up there for contempt of court on the basis that he won't accept transgenderism. He won't refer to a boy as he, they, or they, them, or whatever. Yeah. He's told to stay at
school. That's a teacher guy, right?
He's a teacher. And a lot of people are kicking off going, well, he's not in prison because he won't accept that. He's in prison because he's contempt of court. They told him to stay out of the school. And he's like, this is my job. I'm going there even to sit in an empty classroom, even though he was suspended on full pay. He's like, I'm not going to harm anybody. Yeah. I'm a teacher. I want to teach children. I want to teach them the curriculum. But no, the school board, the judges decided he's going to Mountjoy Prison. And actually, they've stopped reporting on that in mainstream media. But the guy's been banged up for around about 14 days now. And he's adamant he's going to stay there until such times that he's accepted. Man. So it could turn out to be a big
nothing. I have nothing but the deepest respect for that guy.
Indeed. Well, let's finish on that high note. A shout out of respect to Enoch Burke and the stand that he's taking.
Yeah.
Trevor Weir, I could talk to you all day, as you probably know, but you've got things to do and I've got to get off air for the next person to come along. It's their go. So this is TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded. Trevor John, Diamond, as always, we'll stay in contact. Have an absolutely spiffing weekend. And if you see that Trebiers, tell them Rick Munn said hello and I will be over someday. I'm done for the week. Hope you've enjoyed it, you lovely listeners. Back on Monday, as per normal, on TNT Radio, Locked and Loaded. Have a great weekend.